tonight. Thankful to be here with you all. I really need your prayers. I have a lot to learn. I have a lot of growth that I need, and I trust that the Lord is going to bless me. And appreciated the prayer of tonight. I was thinking about our Sunday school lesson this morning, and it says in the Word that it's not only given to us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to suffer for His sake.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that, and we were just having a little bit of a discussion about suffering, and can we run from it? Can we hide from it? Can we get away from it? I was thinking about the story of Esther and how Mordecai told her, maybe the Lord's put you in this position for this time. For this specific time. And he said, if you won't do it, believe me that the Lord will raise someone up who will. But will you escape? So I think of that, and you know, I think of what it costs to give our lives to the Lord and completely and wholly, and yes, there may be suffering involved. But we can't run from it. You know, I've had some thoughts on my heart for the last few. I don't know. It seems like everything's kind of been blending together in my thoughts and how the Lord's been speaking to me lately. And throughout my life, I've never really been good at anything, like really good. You know, to say that, you know, people say, you know, they're professionals or well-trained professional, or just to be able to say that, you know what, I know to a full extent. And I was thinking about my life, and I was thinking about some of the things that I've done, and I've done quite a bit of things well, but nothing great, you know, nothing to that high standard of that excellence. And I was just thinking about that, and there was a time in my life when I used to run, and I used to like to run, and I was getting better and better, and I don't know if any of you have ran, but when you start, you're very slow, and you got no wind, and it doesn't seem like you can go very far, and I got to where I felt like I was doing really well. You know, like I was getting better at it. You know, I got to where I can run a mile in under 6 minutes, and I can run 15 miles at a 7 minute pace, and I was feeling pretty accomplished. You know, like this is good. But then I talked to somebody, they say, "Oh yeah, how fast you running?" Well, I'm running about 7 minute miles for 15 miles. Really? Yeah, that's not bad. You know, the Olympians, they run it in 4.5 minutes. And you know what? They go for 26 miles. And it just like, you know, pops the bubble. And you know, you think of that, and you apply that to God's Word, and you apply that to the ministry, or you apply that to doing the will of the Lord. And saying, you know what, I'm not the best. And I stand here to tell you that I am not the best by any means. But you know, it's discouraging. It was discouraging for me, and it almost made me want to just stop. You know, well, if I can't be good enough at it, then why do it? And are we going to do that with God? Are we going to say, you know what, I'm just not good enough at it. There's people that are better than me, that are more equipped than me, that can do it better. And so I'm just going to sit around and watch them do it. Is that all right? Is it okay to do that? We discussed someone this morning, and I'd like to read it again. But in Exodus chapter 4. We were talking about Moses this morning a little bit. Chapter 4, verse 10. And the Lord told Moses what he wanted to do with him, and this was Moses' response. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. You know, Moses did that. He said, Lord, you know, I'm not the best. I'm not really good at talking. I'm not good at speaking, and I'm limited in my abilities. And so just send who you will send. I'm right behind him, but send who you will send. And it says that the Lord told him, Who's made mouth? Who made your mouth? It's like to say that, why can't God use you? I made your mouth. You don't think I can give you words to speak? You don't think I can give you ability to do? You don't think that I can make the message go forth? Where's your faith at, Moses? Really, his faith was in his own ability. I guess it goes along with what we heard earlier today, that self kind of got in the way there. But, you know, I was thinking about that last verse and how he says, I will be, let's see, he says, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And I thought about that, and this morning it just occurred to me that that's a shame. That Aaron spoke what he heard Moses say. Wouldn't it have been so much better if Moses had spoke what God had said? You know, it's almost like it went down a notch right there a little bit. He says, you're going to be instead of God to him. I don't want anyone to be instead of God. You know, I don't want anyone to go before rather than him who the Lord is speaking through. So I was just thinking about this, and we all have excuses that we can give, you know, that we're just not good enough, or it's not really our talent, or it's not really our forte, so to speak. And we could be completely right. And you know what? Moses was probably right in what he said. But we serve a mighty God, a powerful God, a God who can do all things. Exodus chapter 18. Verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me. and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and His laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. You know, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how obviously there's people who are well more capable of being, say, up here. Brother Marty's well more capable of being up here than I am. But I was thinking about it in this sense, too, that if Brother Marty had to preach everywhere, to everybody, all the time, every week, you don't think he'd be wore out? He can't do it all himself. I can't do it all myself. Nobody can do it all by themselves. And I was thinking about this, and Moses just couldn't do it all himself. Other people needed to be involved. And I thought about it, and Moses was probably the best one to go to. No doubt about it. I would say that he would, I mean, if I was there at that time, I probably would have been one to bend to Moses' ear too, and asking him what God had said. And it says that he spoke to God face to face. I mean, his relationship with the Lord was so deep, and no doubt he was the best man for that. But you know, the Lord could use others. The Lord did use others. He took the advice of his father-in-law, and they did. The Lord poured His Spirit out and anointed some others to help Moses in this. We can't do it all ourselves. I was along this line in Luke chapter 10. Verse 2. Well, we'll read 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. I've thought about this verse many a times through my life, and I certainly think that it's a need to pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into the harvest. Do you know that this world around us is a harvest still? The harvest is not completely done yet. But there are souls out there who want the truth, who are willing to receive the truth. They're blinded. They don't know it yet. But I believe the Lord can open their eyes. I believe the Lord can do anything. And I think sometimes we can look at our situations, and we can look at people, and we can look at those that we deal with on an everyday basis, those people that are at work with us, or those people that we see on the street every day, and we can think that there's really no hope for them. Oh, they don't want the truth. Oh, they can't handle the truth, or they aren't willing to receive, and so why bother, you know? Why speak? Why even attempt? In my experience, I've had times where the most unlikely person in my eyes, I mean, I would look at people that were just so far deep into sin in their lives, and it was written all over their face, literally. People who had their faces completely and totally tattooed, where you couldn't even see their own skin on their face. And you would look at that man and see how gruff and rough and tough he was, and think that there is no way that this man will be receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the life of salvation. But you would be wrong. Because I've experienced people that the Lord said, speak, and I spoke. However dumb it may have seemed at the time, and really I just had to block that out and said, oh, I'm just going to speak anyways. And, you know, the truth of it was that the Lord blessed in those situations sometimes more so than in the situations of somebody that you thought would be receptive or someone that you thought would be open to hearing the gospel. Say another religious person, for example. You know, sometimes I really believe that sometimes those who don't have any claim on God at all are much easier to reach than those who have one. But I was thinking about this and pray that the Lord will send forth laborers into His harvest. And as I said, I really do believe that we should do that. But are we praying, Lord, send me into your harvest. Lord, raise me up. Use me in your harvest. It's not so much about somebody else. You know, sometimes we can say, you know what, this is a need. Why won't somebody stand up? Why won't somebody rise up and do something about this? This is unreal what these people are doing. You know, that they would kill babies up to the day of their birth. How can this happen? How can they believe this? How can they stand on it and think that it's true and right? And somebody should do something. Can the Lord use us? And I'm not saying that we have to go down to the White House and use our picket signs and this and that, but I think that we can do something in our lives with the people that we're interacting with the ones that we speak to, and be able to get the message across, to help them see. You know, I was thinking also Peter. The Lord told him, feed my sheep. Told him three times. Told him what to do. And you think about it, and what did Peter do? I believe he received it. But he says, well, what about John? Right? What about this person? What are they going to do? And the Lord tells him, if he tarries till I come, what is that to you? Feed my sheep. Do what it is that I'm calling you to do. I was blessed this morning just through the service and, you know, all facets of the service. And another thought occurred to me in relation to what we're talking about tonight. And it's in 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 17. Now this is a story of I guess you would say David and Goliath. And what's taking place here is that Jesse has sent David to the armies to see how things are going with his brothers. And so David comes on the scene. He's got his little cart of gifts to give to his brothers and to their commander. And so he goes to see what's going on. And in verse 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. Perhaps we should read what he spoke. He was defying the armies of the living God, basically, and saying, send me out. Anyone out of amongst you to come and fight me, and we'll fight him and I, and the winner takes all, basically. If you win, then we'll be servants unto you, and if I win, then you be servants unto us. And so he does this again. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I done? What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him towards another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." I really love this. I mean, I love God's word, but, you know, I mean, I'm sure I could read another passage and tell you how much I love it too, but I just think of this and Goliath, a force to be reckoned with. I mean, no match, really. No match for anyone. None of the people of Israel really felt that they were a match for him at all. And to be honest with you, David was not a match for him either. You could say that David was probably the least of the army at that time. He was a young boy, probably not even old enough to be in the army yet. Maybe he had a passion to be, but David was not the best. He was not the most equipped. If you read further, you'll find out that he went before Saul and he says, "You know what, I'll go." And Saul said, "All right, well, where's your weapons? You know, I mean, you need some armor. I got some stuff that you can take with you to go fight him." David was not even the most equipped to do it. You know, I think of this, and sometimes we can look at ourselves and say, "You know what? I'm just not equipped. I'm just not capable. I'm not prepared. I'm not all the things that I need to be to accomplish this task." And I'm sure everyone in that army probably thought along those lines, like, "This man is huge. He's a monster out there. You know, how can I rise up and go up against him and prevail? You know, I'll fail." I'm sure each one of them thought that. And I believe that sometimes that we can do that within our own selves and allow self to keep us. David just said, "You know what? I'll go. Don't worry yourselves, you know, just I'll go and I'll fight this Philistine." Is there not a cause? You know, I think of our world today and I think of the circumstances that we see in our I think of the church in general. The church needs laborers. The church needs people who will be willing to take on the burden, I guess you could say. I was talking to Brother Philip just recently before we came out here, and he was talking about people who are willing to take the burden upon themselves, who are willing to see the needs and not just think of the needs as a need that someone else should supply, or as a need that someone else should take care of, but to be able to feel the needs and to be willing to bear the needs. and to take responsibility, to stand up. You know, I was in the Old Testament, it often speaks about the armies, and it says that this tribe had 400,000 fighting soldiers, and this tribe had 200,000 fighting men. And it would go on and on. And I thought about that, and it's like, that's how many that would stand up and say, you know what, I'm here for battle. I'm here to be counted. I'm here to take up my spot among what needs to be done. Are we willing to stand and be counted? Are we willing to raise our hand and say, I'm here to do my part in this battle? Or I'm here to do my piece of the puzzle. I'm here to build up the kingdom of God. Judges chapter 6. Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my father is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Again, was Gideon the best? Was he the most capable? Was he the strongest? His testimony of himself was that his father's house was poor and that he was the least in his father's house. How do we view ourselves? Would we say this of ourselves before the Lord? And say, how can I go, Lord? I am the least capable of doing such a thing. But the Lord says, go in this thy might. Have not I sent you? You know, our ability to do anything for the Lord is not in us. It's not in you to do the will of the Lord. It's in the Lord. Our ability to be effective in the lives of people is in God. Our ability to speak effectively is by the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God does not move, then the words fall flat on the ground. But he says that his word will not go forth void, but it will accomplish what he has sent it out to do. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. It's like Isaiah was listening in on the Lord's conversation, and he was saying, you know, who shall we send to do such a thing? Or who shall we send to speak to them? And Isaiah stood up and said, I'm right here. Send me. You know, I ask, should we just pray for the Lord to send laborers into His harvest? Should we just look upon one another and say, you know, I wish the Lord would finally get a hold of that brother and tell him to do something for him. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that that's not true. Yes, may the Lord help that brother and get a hold of him. But we really need to be looking into the Lord and asking Him, what can I do, Lord? I see the needs. I see what needs to be done. And I pray that You would help me to be willing to stand and take a responsibility for the needs. And say, you know what, I'm willing to take on the yoke. I'm willing to take up the burden. And I'm willing to stand and be used for God, for His kingdom. You know, it's not all about ministry. It's not all about ministers. It's sometimes as much for prayer.
Yes. Amen.
You know, I mentioned that I appreciated the prayer that went forth this evening. And I meant that. Prayer is powerful.
Amen.
You know, when you can get with God and you can have a relationship with Him and you can pour your heart out to the Lord. You know, I'm not just talking about just saying, well, Lord bless this and Lord bless that, you know, but to really have a burden for the needs, to really have a fervency for the prayer, to say, Lord, you know what, this brother is in pain and suffering and he's dealing with some things and I pray that You would bless him and help him, Lord. Give him strength, give him comfort, give him encouragement, help him to know that You're with him and that You're not forsaking him. And I mean, you can just, prayer is powerful. Can we pray for one another? Can we testify to what God has done in our lives? And to really let ourselves be out there and put our heart out there and our fervency and our passion and saying, Lord, the Lord has done this. I was going through this and I didn't know how I was going to get out of it. I didn't know which way I was going to turn and what I was going to do. And the Lord stepped in and blessed. And how He did it, I have no idea how He worked all these things out, but He did it. That's an encouragement to people. That's a strength to them. Sometimes they hear that and they think, you know what, I'm going through some things. And it's a powerful thing to know that someone else has too. And the Lord's delivered them. And He's helped them. You know, do we suffer for the cause of the Lord? Yes, we do. And I'm here to tell you, you're going to suffer otherwise too. You think anybody goes through life without suffering? Nobody does. Those who don't have the Lord, they suffer too. You know, it might seem like they got everything going on. And, you know, you read some of the Psalms and it says not to fret about the one that seems like they just got it all together. You know, they got all the money. They got all the things. They don't seem like they got a need in the world. But you know what? There is a need there. There is a need there. Sometimes that need is that void that's in their heart that they need God. Will we be willing to testify to somebody? I was listening to a message on the way over here, and the minister was talking about how his phone started playing his song list, right? Out in the middle of work. And he was thinking, oh no, what am I going to do? He's trying to figure out how to turn this phone off, right? But it was songs of God. It was God's, I mean, it was the songs of Zion. You know, evening light songs, I assume, you know. Just a playlist. And he said he started thinking about it. And he's like, you know what? I should have been like, let them songs play. Right? Why do we have to be embarrassed of what the Lord has done for us? Why do we have to be embarrassed of what we believe? And what we stand on and how we stand on it? We don't have to be afraid to testify into what God has done in our lives and why we stand the way we do. There's a need. It's not just here. I'm not here. This is my first day here with you all. But I know there's needs. I know that where I come from, there's needs. I know that everywhere I've been, there's been needs. And I also know that there's been there people who could fulfill those needs. If they would just stand up and say, Lord, send me. You know, I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to say, Lord, send so-and-so. Or Lord, what were you going to do with this brother or that sister? But I'm going to stand up and say, Lord, what can I do? Lord, how can I stand in the gap? Lord, how can I be of service to the kingdom? How can I strengthen the kingdom? How can I help you add into the kingdom? How can I allow you to use me in such a way that will bring benefit to your kingdom and glory into your name? How can I be a part? Yes, we should pray for one another. And yes, we should pray that the Lord would raise up many, many into the gospel work. But I think it starts by praying that the Lord will use us. I believe it starts by praying and saying, Lord, yes, I'm not the best. Yes, Lord, I'm not the most capable. Yes, I don't know how in the world you can possibly use me. But I'm going to tell you right now that I'm going to stand here and be willing. I'm going to put myself into your hands and allow you to use me in whatever way you see fit. And I'm going to put you first, your kingdom first, and that's all there is to it. And let the Lord do what He will. I'm not here to tell you that He's going to make everybody a minister, because He's not going to. But He will use you. And you'll know it. And you'll see when you pray that way and you make yourself at God's disposal, that opportunities will come. And you'll see windows of opportunity take place in your lives, where you'll have a discussion with somebody and you'll see a moment where, you know what, you could put a little plug in there about what you believe and why you believe that and what the Lord has done, and lift Him up. You know, we won't always see the fruits of our labor. We don't always see what God does as a result of our surrender and our commitment or consecration into Him. You know, you might speak to 100 people in your life and never know really if it made any difference. But you know, you don't have to know. And honestly, I think sometimes it's best if you don't know. Because it's God's. But the word that goes forth out of your mouth, the word of the Lord, that is, will accomplish what He sends it out for. So I guess the message tonight is, Lord, send me. Lord, use me. Help me to take on the burden. Help me to take on the load. Help me to be what you need me to be. And this is my prayer for me, that the Lord would use me in such a way that I would be what He would need to be, by His grace, of course. So I ask that you all would pray for me. And I thank you for the time and your attention.